Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome along to the Racing Post Cheltenham Festival podcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and I'm delighted to be joined by David Jennings and Paul Keighley from the Racing Post and Paddy Power's Paul Binfield. We are looking ahead to day three. Very exciting. We will start with the JLT, the first race at 1:30. And Paul, how do Paddy Power bet?
Well, we go 11-4, Defi Jusoy. Bruce, 3 lost in translation, 7 Real Steel and Vindication, who got a late call up for the race, 8 Kildisart and 10-1 Bar.
Okay, DJ, you can start. Are you going to play it nice and safe?
Yes, this is my banker the whole festival, Bruce Defi Jusoy. Keels will tell me why he won't win, but I'm going to start off by telling you why he will win. I have this whittled down to a two-horse race between Defi Jusoy and Lost in Translation. It's one all between the pair, but Defi Jusoy traded at 101 in the Dipper here on New Year's Day. Barry then rode him completely differently in the Scilly Isles at Sandown. He pounced late. I thought he bolted up. He's got terrific form in heavy ground. He loves Cheltenham. He won a Triumph Hurdle in 2016. For me, I know Duke de Geneva was very impressive, but I think he would have beaten Duke de Geneva in the Arkle. I think he's the best novice chaser at 2 or 2.5 miles, and I think he'll win convincingly. I think he should be about 6-4.
Keels, would you take 6-4 Defi?
No, I might even lay him for a place, to be honest. I just think that he's just running against the same horse all season. One apiece. They are basically the same horse, and I don't think Lost in Translation is that good. I don't think Defi Jusoy is that good. Two starts before they ran against each other, Defi Jusoy ran and won at Exeter, and top of the game gave him a 20-length start, nearly got to him over a trip that's too short for him. I'm just not convinced that that form is very good. And I absolutely love Kildisart for this race. Ben Paulin is in great form. He won the Trials Day Novice Chase at Novice Handicap Chase in January. He bolted up by 2 lengths by then, despite absolutely belting the last. He powered up the hill. He's not gonna want for stamina, and that's where I think Defi Jusoy's weakness is, because this is going to be stiff round here. You're going to have a real stiff wind into him even tomorrow, and I don't think he'll stay. And Kildisart definitely will, and I expect him to win.
Who do you expect to win, Paul?
I think Lost in Translation can turn the tables with Defi Jusoy, Bruce. If Lost in Translation hadn't made a mistake a couple out in the Scilly Isles, I think he may have won that day, and I'll go for him. Paul said that Ben Pauling is in good form. He was in good form in the pub last night, I can tell you that for nothing.
Okay, well, he had a win with LeBroy, didn't he, last race Tuesday? What sort of stuff was he getting up to?
There was some celebration, and Jamie Codd's name was echoing around the rafters, Bruce. It was great fun.
Excellent. We all had an early night because we're true pros. You can't go too hard on the Tuesday. Right, the second race is a toughie. It's the Pertemps final. I think I've had tips for pretty much every single runner. We'll see what the lads fancy after Binners gives us the betting.
6, Saidu Burley, Bruce. 15-2, Samburu Shujar. 10, Walk to Freedom and First Assignment. And it's 12-1, the rest.
Kills, have you got a clear view on this?
Yeah, there's two that I like. First of all, Dan Skelton's Not What I Am. Used to be trained in Ireland. Much improved for him. Has already won a couple of times for him. May well have won over course and distance if he hadn't fallen 2 out earlier in the season. But there's a really, really eye-catching 4th in the Warwick qualifier, where he's the only one to come off the pace. Got the job done there by getting qualified. I think he has to go well. And the other one is takes a bit more explaining, but Champers on Ice, trained by David Pipe. He was a very good horse a few seasons ago. Finished a close 30, you know what I mean, Harry, in the Albert Bartlett. Was rated 146 after that, I think. And that race turned out to be a lot better than everyone thought at the time. He's had his problems since, but he just moved into 4th for the qualifier at Haydock in his first run for a year and a half. And, you know, it was just a nice run on good ground, which isn't any good to him. He's got the ground he likes. He's on a mark of 135 now. And I think he's fair enough to say that he's been primed for this for a long while.
How many places have we got here, Binners?
I'm not exactly sure, Bruce. We're going to analyse it during the day on Tuesday. So we'll have a look at that.
Okay, it's Wednesday today, so you better get your TARDIS out. Who do you fancy?
I'm going to go for Artois Phil for Gordon Elliott, 14-1, Bruce. He's on a mark £7 lower over hurdles than he is over fences, so I think that gives him a chance. Like the horse Paul just mentioned, finished 4th in a qualifier at Punchestown, so as good a chance as any, I would say.
Who's got the best chance in your book, DJ?
Coming into the festival, Bruce, I was very keen on First Assignment, who I thought had the best form in relation to Paisley Park, but I cannot wait to back Champers and Ice. Me and Keels were talking about this before the show. We generally clash on things like Defi Desai. We were talking about Thursday walking in here today, and the two of us, right on cue, just said Champers on Ice tomorrow, down to 135. It looks like your old fashioned pipe plot job to me. He's finally got his ground. He's crying out for this sort of ground. His form on heavy and soft ground is really, really good. Go back to that Albert Bartlett. He had horses like Barter's Hill, Balco de Flow behind him that day. That was a really, really strong piece of form. 3 miles, soft ground, off a mark of 135, blinkers on. He's 20-1 now with Paddy Power. He will not go off 20-1. I think he's got a cracking chance.
Wow, 20-1 shot that Keels and DJ both agree with. Right, two crackers coming up now. First up, it's the Ryanair. Binners, give us a show.
7-2 Footbad, 9-2 Monolium Road to Respect, 5 Erndeso, 6 Frodon, and 14-1 Bar.
And you can go first.
I like Road to Respect, Bruce. He's been placed in a couple of grade ones over 3 miles the last couple of times. Didn't get beaten a fag paper last time. I think 2.5 miles at Cheltenham up that hill will suit the horse perfectly.
Who do you like, DJ?
This is a nightmare. This is like trying to solve Brexit. It is really, really open, so it is. I'm going to take two at big prices. The first of them is last year's winner, Balco de Flow, who's had sore shins all season, so the quick ground has been a disaster for him. It's a catch-22 because he's a horse that probably does want decent ground and did earlier on in his career, but he's sore shins and he hasn't been able to run it. This is the first time he's got soft ground, and if he does produce the performance which saw him beat under so, that could be good enough. So Balco de Flow would be my first one. And my second one is a friend of the show, Frank Hickey, his guilty pleasure, which is Coney Island, who has just snippets of form that make you think he is something special. Like when he won the Drinmore, he beat Annabelle Fly, Road to Respect. It was really good form. Things have gone pear-shaped. He was second favourite for the Gold Cup at one stage last year. Things have gone pear-shaped. He's got here. Tony O'Hare spoke to Eddie Harty this morning. He said for the first time, he's absolutely blossoming. He's loving the place. So Coney Island and Balco de Flow for me.
We have to back Coney Island, don't
we?
Frank's
so
sweet. And in one day, a cup. And I think he's 33-1. Keels, tough on this.
Not for me. I think everyone's missing the obvious and the best horse in the race. And the one with cracking course form is Frodon. I made a white cock up of this race last year because I told everyone Balco de Flow will, and then I lumped on Frodon because of what he'd been doing around Cheltenham, and it just didn't work out. But he'd had a really, really tough season before, by the time he got here last time, and he ran in the Ascot Chase. This time he comes into the race really, really fresh, having won a handicap of 164. He then won the Cotswold Chase. He's run the Racing Post ratings of 177 and 176 on this track, and that is higher than any of the other horses in this race have ever run anywhere in their lives. I think he's the best horse in the race, and it's at this track. It's just because he hasn't won. Just because he hasn't won a Grade One, people can't have him. But if you can win a handicap off a mark of 164, you're a Grade One horse.
He has no chance now, none, because it's going to be like yesterday in the Champion Hurdle with Apples Jade. He's going to be taken on the whole way, and I just don't see it. I don't think he's good enough. When he steps up to Grade One level, he's blatantly not good enough. Sorry, Paul.
He's only stepped up once, and that was last year. It's not good, you know. He's a different horse now.
Just to clarify, Erndeso wins. Right, let's move on to the stayers at 3:30. Binners, how short has Paisley Park got?
15-8, Bruce. 7-2 Faheen, 7 Super Sunday, 10 Black Hop, and it's 12-1 Bar.
And DJ, are you going to row him with the fav or take him on?
No, I'm going to take him on. The one I've been keen on for this race for quite a while is Black Op, who was 12 lengths behind Paisley Park in the Cleve Hurdle. I did a preview with Noel Feely on Monday night, and Noel doesn't do bullshit. He kind of talks sense, and I could not believe how sweet he was in this horse. He basically explained he's been run over fences, and he said because his jumping was so bad, the jockey each time over fences, it was just a case of trying to get him around. And he thought the first time he had a race all season was in the Cleve Hurdle. He said he could not believe how tired he was at the last hurdle. He said he's turned inside out since then. I think his form from last season when second to Sam Crow in the Ballymore is still solid form. Forget the Sam Crow this year. I think he will get a hell of a lot closer to Paisley Park than he did in the Cleve Hurdle. He's like 10 times the price, and I think you've just got to back him each way, Black Op.
Who's your fancy, Kills?
Well, it was Black Op earlier in the season, but I don't see how he's going to turn it around with Paisley Park. I think that was easily the best performance from a staying hurdler we've seen this year. Obviously, you know, he won by 12 lengths. He was given £6 to the runner-up, who he'd only beaten 2 lengths off levels the time before. He's just going forward with every run, and he doesn't need to go any further forward to win this. I hope he wins for connections as well. I'm not looking to oppose him.
I'm having dinner tomorrow with his Emma Lavelle's brother. He's flying in from Australia, especially for the race. So it'd be fantastic if they get the job done. Will Paisley Park win, do you think, Binners?
I think he will, Bruce. Too short for me. I'd like to take him on with something. I'm not sure who. Probably go with Faheen. He was running a nice race at Leopardstown in the Christmas hurdle until he took a tumble. If he's back to his best, he could serve it up to Paisley Park. There's not a lot between them on ratings, but it is a big if, and Paisley Park has looked the best stayer this year to me.
Quick word on Faheen, Kills.
Connection seemed very confident in him. Last 11-year-old to win that race was 1986. I mean, that's the worry, isn't it? You know, he's running in this race because he ain't good enough for 2 miles anymore, which means he isn't as good as he was. That's got to be a worry for me.
Where will Faheen finish?
Third.
Okay. Three more races. Very tough. We'll do those next.
Friends, or maybe more. Earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Okay, welcome back. Let's do the 410 now. It's the plate. It's got all sorts of other names, but I can't remember what they are. Binners, what's the latest betting?
6-1 Janika, 7 Ciru Gillac, 10 Spirit of the Games, 12 River Wild, 14 Calandra, and it's 16-1, Bruce.
Who wins this, Kills?
Yeah, very hard race. As you'd imagine, there's two I like. Obviously, I've already mentioned that I like the Trials Day form of January, and Spirit of the Games was third, conceding £5 to Kildasar. I think he's got a massive chance. He's got loads of big field form to his name. He was fifth in the county hurdle last year. He could have run in the JLT. I actually backed him at a massive price for the JLT, but he's, I think he's reasonably well handicapped on the mark of 147. And the other one is Calandra. Now, at the start of the season, in our Racing Post Jumps annual, I actually said this is potentially the best handicap chaser in Britain. He'd run at Punchestown in May, and he was given £7 to sub-lieutenant. He's rated 158, and he was going really well behind him. Got the two out and fell. Now, had he stood up, I'm convinced he'd have gone up at least £10 in the ratings, but the handicapper left him alone. He was very, very well back for the BetVictor Gold Cup, and according to Feely the other week when he was on the preview evening, he was cantering when he fell. And then he just scared. Apparently, he got scared at Haydock on Betfair Chase Day when they had the unusually large and some would say unreasonably large fences that day. They put him away since, so we just tried to work on his confidence. And you know, by the sounds of it, and by the fact that he's come into 14-1 from more than twice that price a week ago, then he's obviously going well. Feely seemed to be fairly confident that he'll run a big race as long as he gets round. And I think he's got to be a massive player.
Okay, you can always back him with Fuller Insurance now, can't you? Even on the Racing Post app. Binners, have you sussed this?
I hope so, Bruce. I'm going to go for my good friend Max McNeil's flamboyant owner, Azerti. He ran a nice confidence booster at Ludlow last time. Before that, he was running a big race here when he fell the time before. And I think the connections are quite bullish about him, so hopefully he'll go well for them.
DJ, who wins the plate?
Yeah, me and Paul are going to go down together. We're either going to have a brilliant day and go on the piss, or we're going to have a disaster. Calandra for me, Bruce. My stag was here in November, and we all pooled up together and backed Calandra in the BetVictor Gold Cup. I thought he was travelling really well. Noel thought he was travelling really well when he came down. It was too early to tell how he would have done. But like Paul, at the start of the season, I thought he was one of the best handicap chasers in training. The key thing for him is that he comes here fresh, and a lot of his wins have been when fresh. Neil Mulholland Stable are in terrific form. I think he's just a very, very good horse. Probably a grade 2 horse over fences, running a handicap off a mark of 147. He's 14-1 now. I think that's very, very fair.
Next up at 450, it's the Mares Novices, and Hendo as a short favourite here in Epitante, Paul Binfield.
He does, Bruce. 6-4 that one. 11-2 Posh Tricks. Posh Trish. Sorry, 6 Sonoria, 10 Sancta Simona, and Elusive Bell, and it's 12-1 bar.
And what are you going to do with this, Fav? Take it on or back it, Binners?
I'm going to take him on with a horse called Lust for Glory. He comfortably beat Posh Trish at Newbury in November. I know Posh Trish has subsequently reversed the form, but around 14-1, I think she is a nice price.
What about you, DJ?
I think the favourite's a good thing. I think she would have had every chance in the Supreme had she ran. Now, she's beaten nothing so far, so visually you're trying to just figure out how good she is. The vibes from the stable, Toby Law seems to think she's exceptional. Nikki kind of basically said that she was a certainty. Barry loves her. She is very short and she's keen, but I think she's by far the most talented filly in the race. Two prices that could be placed are Elusive Bell, who ran away with Sam Willie Cohen at Sandown last time. I think she's a very, very good horse, and when she was with the Fahies in Ireland, they absolutely loved her. They were devastated when she was sold, even though they got nice money for her. And Sancta Simona, who travelled all over Arrowman at one stage at Leopardstown, travelled really well that day, just didn't get home. Those two at double figure price, Elusive Bell and Sancta Simona, but I think Epitant would be very hard to beat.
Yeah, absolutely. I did a preview night with Toby Laws last week, and it was on the day that the news came through that the big Irish danger, Honeysuckle, was out. And he was asked, you know, does that make you even more confident? And he said, look, she was the banker before when she was in it. This is a rocket, like, you know. And I'm happy enough to leave it at that. She has looked brilliant. She'll win.
Okay, and finally on day three, we've got the Kim Muir, takes place at 5:30. Another wide open contest. Let's see if the lads have got a decent price. Tip for you, we'll start with the betting pool.
5, Measure of My Dream. 7, It's All Guesswork. 8, Sky Pirate. 9, Any Second Now. 10, Live, Love, Laugh, No Comment. And it's 12-1 bar.
If you listened to our podcast last Friday, Frank Hickey from Paddy Power was massively sweet on Sky Pirate. He's shortened since then, but still 8-1. We're back with you, DJ. What do you think?
Yeah, Sky Pirate definitely has a chance, but like the value is gone. I think when Frank tipped it up, it was 16s or 20s. It's down to 8s now. The two I like are both owned by JP McManus. The first of them is Any Second Now, who's not from 9 over fences, so it's obviously that's a concern. But I did think he ran an extraordinary race in the Paddy Power at Christmas, and that he didn't jump particularly well, clattered into the last, still wasn't beaten that far. I would say he's well handicapped off 1-4-3. And Derek O'Connor, you know, around here, he's a genius. And the other one is actually No Comment for Mikey O'Hare. I thought No Comment would develop into a graded chaser. He travelled really well in the 4-miler last year, but just didn't get home. I think back over 3-mile 2, I think we'll be fine. He goes on the ground. And I think if you back No Comment each way and Any Second Now each way, you're collecting at least one of them, possibly two.
Kills.
I echo everything that Dave said about Any Second Now. I think he's got a cracking chance. He might have won that Paddy Power, mightn't he, if he hadn't made a mistake. So that's the one at the short end of the market. But I also take a bit of a flyer with a horse called Arc Wrist. Now, the one thing I warn you about, he's clumsier than I am in the Racing Post studio. You know, when I fall over that desk every time I walk in. He can give the fence an absolute belt. But he's a 33-1 shot, having not had his ground all season, and he's got it now, and he'd have gone very close in the Irish National off a similar sort of mark last year if he hadn't have been badly hampered at the last. So he's definitely a much bigger price than he should be on his best form.
What's he called?
Arkwish, trained by Joseph O'Brien.
Okay, Binners.
I'm going to go Live, Love, Laugh, Bruce. Kind of fallen for Joe Chambers' waffle at a preview evening the other night. Susanna Rich's racing manager, he's trying to get 20-1 off me for this horse. It's into 10-1 now. He seemed very keen on it, stepping up in trip from 2.5 miles at Leopardstown last time. That might suit, and I'll go along with Joe Chambers.
Okay, best bet of day three, DJ.
Well, I'll be devastated if Defi Desai doesn't win, but Champers on Ice, I can't wait to back him.
Kills.
I'm convinced Kill Desai is going to win the JLT 130.
And Binners.
Love to see Road of Respect win for Noel Mead, one of the gents of Irish turf racing.
Okay, and which horse will you be laying either to win or to place? Which horse can you not have for any price? DJ?
2, Kill the Start and Froden. I don't fancy either of them at all, and I potentially could place lay both of them, which would be bad news for you, pal.
It's pretty mean, isn't it?
It'd be good news for me, because I'll be on the other end of it, pal. Don't you worry about that.
Who don't you like?
I don't like Defi Desai, and I also don't like Footpad. I think last year's Novice Chase form was badly overrated, and I can't see why it's fav.
Okay, and Binners, who's your lay of the day?
Well, I think we'll probably try and take on Paisley Park. I think he's the best horse. He probably will win, but he's a bit too short for me, Bruce.
Okay, thanks, Sheps. We are back tomorrow for the final day postcast. Don't forget, if you are coming down to Cheltenham, do pop down to Stall 51. It's the Racing Post bookshop. You can get all sorts of stuff, scarves, books. One day David Jennings will write David Jennings on Horse Race, and it'll be 5,000 pages and that thick, but they don't sell that just yet. But join us again for another Racing Post Cheltenham Postcast.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.